don't like that when we start a meeting, I can free and run the risk of having a health crisis. So I know you all wake up from home, but can you just rest something for 2 minutes so that I don't want you to collapse because of hunger? Let's just take a 5 minutes sandwich break, and then we will start the meeting. 5 minutes. And once we are doing so, we'll be power invested in me. You see, that's how dictators start. The power invested in me. The regulator, you will call. Just ignore what is attending. We work according to the rules of the table. Okay, so you will be the first one, and then trader, you will follow. Okay, you can, you don't want to eat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't say you must eat forever. So we will continue. First, honorable members, let me say we do have a program, but we think it will help us to start with the presentations, and then subsequent to that, to adopt the program for the third term. With due respect, honorable Lorima and Jafna. Sometimes I know in the ANC, when you talk about the third term, it may remind people of some other events. No, the third term of the program. Not I know they may not be comfortable when we talk about third terms. It's not a good experience that they have.
The second term. So
we will then adopt the minutes, and then we will discuss for the medium-term budget. I dare say this with due respect, our invited guest. This therefore suggests that we've got very, very limited time, but very much long time if we are going to be hearing good stories. So I'm sure you will understand what I say. I'm not saying you must cook or create good stories when they don't exist. But we've got that limitation that I think by 1:30, we should be moving towards the house. So we don't want honorable members to then complain that day. So, regulator, you want to, you'll play what those coaches from outside Africa do. You must play long balls. Don't hit the ball and pass the ball to the left one. So as long as you know when you present, there are others coming after you. We're not going to limit your time, but I'm sure, I know you have the skill. You can't run business if you spend more time in the bottles. In the bottom, you convince people why you have to go and do the work. Don't create an impression that you enjoy sitting with them. You must create an environment that even sitting here, it's a cost in your calculation. So actually, I can make a very good member of the board. Okay, we will then be able to ask questions of clarity. Where we think we'll be able to provide advices, we will do so. At the same time, if we have to cut the whip, we will do so without hesitation. And when we do so, we are doing it because we want to do the right things. Not because we hate anyone, but we have the duty and responsibility. So I would say, so those honorable members who were not here last time, I can tell you that the AG in their audit opinion, it extends beyond the department and the entity. It even makes an opinion on us. So it says we're not doing good, and therefore we have to do our work. So we will be tracking that. Thank you very much. You can start and possibly introduce your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Levi Rabo. I'm the CEO of the Diamonds and Precious Metals Regulator. I'm accompanied by board member, who's also the chairperson of the Finance Committee of the board, Mr. Llewellyn Delport. Let me first maybe start by apologizing for the chairperson who had other challenges and he could not come. Hence, Mr. Delport is also representing our chairperson. From management, I'm also accompanied by, from finance, the finance manager on my right hand, Lusizo Mandlas, the company secretary on my left, Linda Bumisha, second company secretary and leader section as well, Karabo Sibanyuri, and from the transformation team, Gillette Elizabeth Masuku. Without any waste of time, Chair, I understand the importance of other agendas that must come after this process, and I'm just going to start. As you are all aware, you have in your possession the annual report. That is the reason why we are here for the 2013-2014 financial year. Without wasting time, I'm going to start. First, I will outline my presentation, short introduction. I will talk about the outstanding audit matters for the past financial year, which is 2012-2013. I'll go into the achievement of predetermined objectives for the 2013-14, which is very key and very important. I'll talk about the human resource, our annual financial statements, challenges, and I will end up there. My presentation is not long. As I've said in the introduction, the audit report for the year under review was the period 2013-2014. With regard to this, policies have been reviewed and aligned to the PPMA requirements, and relevant financial systems and control have been established and are quickly implemented. With regard to the audit outcome from 2012-2013 financial year, I'm pleased to inform honourable members that the South African Diamond and Precious Metals regulator received a keen audit for that year. In fact, it was the third in the row for the other past financial year that keen audit. So there are no issues that need to be addressed because of the outcome of that keen audit for that year. Without waste time, now I'm going to go into this 2013 financial year, the reason why, 2013-14, the reason why we're here. The audit opinion on this one, unfortunately, and I'm saying unfortunately, Chair, because normally if you said the president, you would like to, recant. We have an unqualified audit opinion, but unfortunately, it is with matter of emphasis, which I'll go into later. And I must confirm that the SADPMR acknowledge that the audit opinion has shown performance challenges as compared to 2012-13 and going back the other 2 years. And we are very sorry about this. Although it's an unqualified audit, it's not a good audit after you've had clean audit for the past 3 years. The regulator is addressing the findings. And unfortunately, AG attend all the audit and risk committee meetings of the board, and there our internal auditor reports on measures taken to address whatever, excluding this one that we are going to talk about, any other funding that is there, whether it's of material or whatever nature. The internal auditor's job is to make sure that these things are addressed, and on a regular basis, the AG is also reported on progress on this thing. So they are aware of this thing. Now, with regard to the emphasis of matter that I refer to on this financial performance that we are now presenting today, the matter reported was a restatement of corresponding figures. As you surely must have realized in Note 27, as disclosed, to the financial statement, the corresponding figures for 31 March 2013 have been restated as a result of an error discovered during 31 March 2014. So that restatement was discovered on the next audit, but I'm pleased also to say, Chairperson, members, that immediately that was brought to our attention, it was corrected. It is already corrected, and we have also put measures into place, internal controls to prevent recurrence of similar error in the future. So the financial statements were revised accordingly and were restated while the auditor general was still there, and they were satisfied about that. I'm sure And the report will also see that that's a matter that has been addressed. Now, financial performance continued with the report. Report on other legal and regulatory requirements, there were none, Mr. President, so there's nothing I can report on. With regard to predetermined objectives, no material findings concerning the usefulness and reliability of the information was also expressed. So there's nothing to negative to report to. And I'm going to, as I've said, my presentation is not long, and I'm really going to do it in the interest of time that the chairman has. I believe I've covered most of the things. The whole document taken as read, it's always important to focus on areas that you need to explain why those areas, if there are any negativities in those areas, and measures taken to correct them or mitigations. Now, in terms of the predetermined objectives, the achievements that I can share with the members, is under the objective to ensure equitable access to resources for local beneficiation. Due to the new facilities, and I must just remind, in the previous years as we were reporting about trying to improve the capacity, particularly when it comes to the diamond exchange and export center. Previously, we were just talking about five rooms, which gave us a lot of challenge and criticism and complaints from the industry. I'm pleased that with the new building that we eventually, I think in 2012, moved to, we had increased that capacity to the viewing rooms number 30. And I'm happy that we now can, you know, treat or deal with any challenge that faces us in terms of anybody who wants to come there. We never say, no, wait, we still having somebody, can you wait for a week? In actual fact, in 1 week, we can take whichever comes. So that capacity has been increased, including the head counts as well, has been increased. So we it's not a challenge. So over 3,546 clients visited the DC and play and B for Diamond Puzzle against the set targets of what we thought we would only be able to see 1,250. And we can see that it's more than double. That is the capacity that I'm talking that we can handle. During the same period, 287 diamond beneficiaries visited the DEC where they were given priority. We had a system where we say, with a purpose of trying to promote diamond beneficiaries, let's give them a priority when there's tenders. And they only come first and view and see if they can buy. So the DEC was able to facilitate also 5 free tenders to the small diamond beneficiaries. This process was a pilot project. It's continuing. We still have to do more to market. And I think one of my jobs is not only to market it while we are at the center, but we have to market it to where the market are. As you all know, South Africa is a producer, but not necessarily the market. The market are elsewhere where the diamonds are traded. Necessarily because other countries are very big in the sales of diamonds, but they're not necessarily the producer. So we have, I must say that I have the support of the board. Our support has gone with the minister to NJ, but unfortunately due to this meeting and another one that I presented the meeting, I mean the minister on behalf of the country also in Dubai, I had to be refused. That would be an opportunity for me to also market our beneficiaries here, but I did send somebody there to look at us to who we can speak. Tangier is apparently one of the biggest Asia areas where a lot of beneficiation has been done. They are not producers. The Republic of China is not a diamond producer, so they depend on getting diamonds elsewhere. So we are going to try and advance that market. The DEC was able to facilitate also, now to ensure compliance with legislative requirements, during the period under review, 572 diamonds were offered, presented for valuation, and 100% of these diamonds were valued for fair market value. There was only one dispute raised, and it was resolved through the intervention of an independent diamond valuator. And the regulator was able to conduct 1,400 inspections within the diamond and precious metal industries against the set target of 1,150. I must just mention to honorable members But as you know, in this industry, if you don't do compliance inspection, then you can get all sorts of things happening that might be, you know, tarnish the country in terms of its compliance, particularly to the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme. And I must also confirm, if you see any passing on the media, you must know that the regulator is of great assistance by providing information and working together with the law enforcement agents so that we cap up these illegalities that are happening on the ground, so that our reputation can still be holds at high level, as you know that we are key fundamentals of the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme. Now, with regard to ensuring competitiveness, sustainable development and job creation in the diamond precious metals industries, during the year under review, financial year, 112 beneficiation licenses were issued against the target of 50. We are trying to motivate and encourage people to apply for beneficiation license, because that's through our mandate is the only one that can actually, you know, increase the number of jobs or create new jobs in this particular region. So the regulator also assisted 6 protective entrepreneurs in the diamond and precious metals industry. Just to explain it, when you get, there are a lot of students that are studying this industry, particularly the jewelry market. But when they go out, they don't know where to start. So we have fostered some relationship with colleges and universities, and we identified students who, when they come out, they really want to get into the business, and we start helping them through the system of licensing, where they can source gold, where they can source what, until we can see that they are running. The only thing that we are still lacking on is the financial support. But regulator, I can rest assure you, and the board is taking that very seriously. We are looking at measures as to how approaching government and other departments, how we can assist, particularly the previously disadvantaged and the new coming into this industry, how we can assist them financially. Because in this country, that is still a lack in this particular industry. So that's where we are still lacking, but nevertheless, we have plans and we are waiting on it. Also, 5 skills development initiatives were facilitated by the regulator itself. If I may just explain, we took an initiative. Some of our diamond dealers or whoever is dealing in diamonds, they don't necessarily have the intensity. They normally would go, the requirements would go to the colleges to learn 8 days or maybe 2 weeks. We have found out it's still a challenge when they have to value the diamonds. And what we did, we said that our government diamond regulators have some crash courses on them. Call those who want to be beefed up in their skills. And would initiate the various skills. 1, valuation, planning of the diamonds, and so on, and using of certain machines as to how, what is it that they must concentrate when they do the viewing. So we have facilitated that. It's a start. Some of us are really operating, they say they see the light. And we think we must just continue and diversify it. Also, we assist them in the management, not necessarily financial management, and as to how, as they look at this, how they must manage, how they must make a choice, and so on. And some of them actually has an impression that it is value to them because they start winning some of the bids. Now, developments within the SAD FEMA. I'm starting by saying establishment of the board. Members perhaps would be aware that during the budget vote meeting of the minister, this issue was mentioned by the minister that we are going to look into that. And if I may just explain, the reason for that, we are a regulatory regime. There are bosses elsewhere globally who have all been regulated. Somewhere in the back, in the industry, in the diamond industry, some members thought that they must establish an organization that they call the World Federation of Diamond Bosses. This is where this name came from. After establishment of that particular forum was actually meant to enhance business by interchanging with various players globally. Mostly, the people who started it are countries or from countries where there were no diamonds. They were not producers, but they were big in trade. As you know, countries like Israel, they are not producers of diamonds, but they're big in terms of the diamond trade. If you look at many countries that are actually participating or have bosses are actually not necessarily producers. 60% of the diamonds globally comes from the African continent. And unfortunately, we don't have a boss. We might have members that are affiliated to the boss, but the one that is linked to government, which we can prize by interacting with other countries and trying to enhance the trade and exchanging ideas, technology, and so on. We thought that perhaps we must create something that will have a regulatory regime aside that will regulate it, the boss, like it's happening in other countries. But the main aim is to actually enhance. We have realized that perhaps maybe our regulatory regime is not so conducive in terms of allowing flexibility of trade of diamonds. There are regulatory regime that actually makes it difficult if you want to be flexible by sending your diamond out as quick as possible. You have to, the law requires that. So we thought maybe to separate the law is there and we have something this. We are still at the stage of working on this. I must just inform members that after that, prior to that, Minister Honorable Wakura Mathodu's budget was speech, the board has already taken a decision that we must look into this. And to that effect, I was mandated to do a research in this particular financial year that we are still on now. That ends up next year, 2015. But I'm pleased to announce or to inform my members that we are very much at an advanced stage. To date, a concept document has already been produced, which means the research has been done. How we did the research, we did some physically to those bosses as I was traveling, but we also did it through internet, a few new ones that are coming, and how the reason behind that. Like Panama is the last one that has been recorded, that has been accepted to that forum that I mentioned. And we would like also to align ourselves with the international trend in this regard. As I said, that concept document has been produced. It has been distributed to the board recently, and the board is looking at it. And they will come up with their inputs if they are happy. Of course, protocol will follow. It will go to the minister, who's also awaiting to see how it's going to unfold. And that's what I can report so far. I have outlined the main rationale of trying to foster this. It will take some time. It's not something that you do it in 6 months. There are various processes. After the minister is happy, they still have to come to Parliament, for consideration. And there will be other things that will also that are also recommended there to change, to make it more, look like what is happening abroad. But also, most of the bosses are just concentrating on diamonds and jewelry making, emphasis in diamonds. Our proposal might be broader than that, to see if we cannot. The competition out there of jewelry making is high. We have to work very hard, and we need this committee, honorable members, support in that in order to change the scenario. We have to work very hard, though it's not something that is going to materialize on itself, and it needs stakeholders also to work together. And not pull sideways or in different directions. But we are hoping we are going there and we'll see what it will happen. Might think as 18 months, maybe we realize that now there's an approval and there's still certain things to put into place. So it's not an overnight thing. Eventually, when it starts operating, it might be maybe in the next 3 years. But every year, there has to be progress reported in this regard. I've already mentioned everything that is on that slide. And maybe now, previously when we reported, we lacked some information on the human resources and we made it so, honorable member who had this concern that we put the organogram of the South African Diamond and Precious Metals, which at the end of 2014, we recorded 119 employees in the regulator. And that is not the diagram information that shows you in terms of things that we would normally want to see in terms of employment equity statistics, number of senior managers, number of professionals under males semi-skilled employees, unskilled employees, and they told us in that category. Senior managers, number of females, professionals and skills, number of females, semi-skilled employees, number of females, unskilled employees, females as well, and the total is 66 as opposed to 53 of male employees. So you can see as far as females at least, we are doing better, we are doing better. I didn't work the percentage, you can work it yourself. Unfortunately, under the number of people with disabilities, we haven't achieved, but we are working on it. It's a worrisome fact that we don't have any disabled people in our organization. We are definitely, in management as we discussed, we are looking at it. However, I would just like to members to also recognize the type of responsibility that we have within the Diamonds. You have to see them, you have to do this. So we're still working to see where we can fit them, not necessarily working with Diamonds. We are definitely working on that. In the coming years, we should see some difference. Number of appointments made for the previous 12 new appointments, number of termination of services are those numbers, and number of internal promotion for this past financial year, it is one. I might, however, also inform members that we don't have the high turnover in the organization. That pleases me. Normally when we advertise that post vacant, we actually get people coming from industry. That tells me that we are doing good, but it's not easy for industry to steal those people back to them. It does not happen. So our turnover is very good. So I'm pleased that the people are proud of doing their work serving this country. All we need is just to be more passionate and to be more committed to serving the citizens of this country. Still under human resources intensive program, we employ five males, females four, males one. You can see always females are advancing in this particular thing. So the total number of internal staff on reservoirs are eight, males are five, and females are three. We are required to report on the statistics. That's why you see them on the annual report itself. Now, with regard to the annual financial statements, we'll just outline the overview, so we won't go into details. I'll take the rest because it is there in the annual report, the details. The regulator submitted the budget of 67.8 million to National Treasury via the Department of Mineral Resources. The final allocation, which came from the department or from National Treasury through the department via the department, was 44.8 million, which left the regulator now with regard to what they budgeted with a shortfall of 23 million. The budget and the classification funds were adjusted in accordance with the final allocation. I must, however, mention that previously the regulator obtained the National Treasury approval to utilize accumulated surplus that was accumulated over the years. Unfortunately, it was quite a substantial amount, but due to that relocation that I told you, increasing capacity, some of it has been used quite substantially, but we do still have that what is there that we can work on top. We have been given permission to use this for capital project and other contractual obligations. So I can report that for the past 5 years, we have not asked a single cent for capital projects from National Treasury because of this agreement that you have money. If you need capital projects, just plan, outline, report to us. If there are in contractual, and contractual in this particular sense would mean also operational challenges, that can also be used for it. I must also thank the board. They have also been supporting us quite strongly on this. But on top of this, I'm not going to report any more about the challenges that the financial allocation is a challenge. We've been reporting like that. But we thought, no, we must just look forward and be proactive. So we have introduced various measures, further in-house revenue to augment allocation shortfall, and I must say that we are doing well. One of them I have reported on the last time that it's in terms of section 10.2b, which allows us, as we do the valuation of exports through the diamond valuators, the government diamond valuators, there's a fee that is legislated in terms of that regulation that we charge. So we have introduced that. I think there was a lack when the regulator was inserted in 2007, that was left. But when we realized it, we brought it on board. But over and above that, we have also increased the license fees. After 5 years, where the requirement is to actually review them every year, we only did that. It has been, I'm sure some of members might have seen it in the gazettes, that it has been asserted. We are still far below or reasonable as compared to other countries in terms of those fees. We haven't had any challenge with regard to that. I think the industry realized that it was quite some time that we have not increased them. We increased them reasonably as well. The actual expenditure under review was 85.9, as I've said. The compensation of employees from that was 54.9 million. Other operating expenditure 26.6 million. Non-cash expenditure was 3.9 million. And various expenditure in delivering the mandate was kept within the budget expenditure. Those are the figures that I said they speak for themselves, and members could have already interrogated them in terms of this reporting. I'm not going to go into them. They speak for themselves. You will ask whatever question. And then trend on utilization of funds. It's also figures that just comparative. 2013, 14, 12, 13, 11, 12. That's what we've got. And as you can see, that the trend actually for the upregion has been capped approximately 40 million. That's why we have gone and embarked on this process of saying we must see how we can generate our own money, not to look at this, so that we can believe. And we are looking maybe in the future, if all goes well, including the boss, you know, if all goes well, maybe not even have to ask for allocation from the government, from the state coffers. This is just for information for the board expenditure. I know it's not part of the thing, but up to now, September 2014, this is what we are putting now. This will be reported, of course, next year. The budget, the actual, the variance, and this is for variance, is a variance of actual versus projected was as a result of non-cash transaction, such as depreciation and provision for leave. So this is not an issue that you should worry about at the end of the year. So far, things that we see where they are going very well. And instead of declining, actually, they should improve. That's still just a continuation. And there is no significant variance between projected and actual revenue. The challenge is, over the past 3 years, the grant has been 41.9. While the cost of operations have been increasing in order to meet the severe, I'm saying it is a challenge because the government and the people of this country want us to deliver. Every year you get challenges, but they can be. So, but we have gone above that because we have thought about how we can, generate some revenue in order to deliver. I'm going to jump there. Access to funding, which I've already mentioned to our industry, is still a problem, but we're also working to that. We're talking now, engaging with the Department of Trade and Industry, including the department, to see what other monies that we can actually agree to use for this particular reason. The access to RAF is dominated by financially strong buyers, as you know, there's been the complaint, but the regulator is engaging diamond producers to arrange special tenders for diamond beneficiaries only, to see if this cannot help. But we must understand that we cannot degrade the value of diamonds to want the producer, not to make profit. That's not what we are saying. But we are saying maybe if the tenders are passed, there are no competitors that can go on them. But we are talking about the producers. Access to market, I've already mentioned that. We are working on it as well. And transformation within the diamond precious metals is still a challenge. But the board has come up with very stringent measures. And to that, the committee on licensing has been tasked to make sure that they report to the board on transformation. And within management, we have also established a transformation team. That's over and above the inspection that they've done. They also follow to see why is it not happening, and also try to understand the reasons from various clients and see how we can help them. We think it will work. All we need together as a country is to work together, say, and together, and understand that the future of this country is in our hands for the future generation. I thank you, Chairperson. You can allow any questions or clarities.
Welcome the effort that will be taken by the regulator to make sure that they go back to the clean audit. Hopefully that next time we'll get that. My question was based on to Edward Honorable Oldroga has said on resolution to come to Western Cape or moving. I would add that let it not be only in other provinces. That can please make sure that you cater for the whole country, because it's not only people in Cape Town or Zurich who have interest on this thing. All the country should have the opportunity. And then on slide number 25, we're talking about the transformation unit. Is it already existing? Do they have terms of reference and what? And then on your human resource, says I see you don't have disabled people. The organogram is not complete until it has disabled people. That is what we are encouraging as a government. And how long does it take to process the beneficiation lessons? And how do you help people? Maybe a person is coming with an application which is not, are you just changing off that application, or do you have deaf people, especially who are mostly disadvantaged, to make sure that they get lessons? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 8, restatement of corresponding figures. I know these documents are heavily audited, general speak. I'm just trying to understand exactly what they mean. Does this mean restatement of corresponding figures? Does it mean that the figures were repeated, the same figures were repeated? Or does it mean that figures were amended after the mistakes were made known or brought to attention? So exactly what does it mean? Then on page 11, 112 beneficiation licenses were issued. I'm not in principle, quite honestly, because the purpose of the Second Down Amendment Act was to ensure beneficiation, was to ensure local beneficiation. And if you tie that up with page 24, access to funding for emerging businesses is still a problem. I get the impression we're going nowhere slowly. So, despite the SDG and despite the Diamond Exchange and Export Center, I'm still to see the real benefits of that particular shift in the regulatory environment which took place subsequent to 2007-2008. So I would like to see from the regulator figures in terms of value what has been allocated, sold to the beneficiation business, local beneficiation business, because that's the purpose of this whole exercise. And when I hear the Chinese, I become more concerned. Because although there's a market up there, and the market should be used, the market, as I understand, for the purpose of the SDG and the purpose of the DEC, was to ensure local beneficiation. And your sentence does not include, somewhere along the line, that you're pushing or compelling or requesting or requiring in terms of any of those sales for this Chinese market to literally beneficiate. So could I understand, could you brief me or the committee, what the position is concerning local beneficiation, the value thereof, and the Chinese license conditions or the condition on which the Chinese are buying diamonds? Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, sir. Chair, I was really interested in the ban of the disability. But I think that my colleague has touched on it very well. But I will also comment that comment that really it is rare that you find an entity that acknowledges those findings that have been done by OAG. It's very rare. The normal government becomes so defensive, you know. But here I think it's proper that you are able to comply at the end of the day. So it's really rare to do that. The other matter which I think is critical is that I'm from Eastern Cape, so my wish is that it will be very useful that particularly the areas where the diamond and gold, where you can extend your offices to, so that you are able at least to prioritize when you do your work. I wish to read that particular matter. Because to be everywhere, you know, to go to Eastern Cape,
we will not pay any money assist. We only give you the dollars for the workforce and the only people that you see. So I wanted to raise those particular matters to say, really, your report to me is really very clear and precise to the point. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm very worried that quite soon we might get a request of all provinces represented in this committee so that lobbying can be fair. I'm sure, Honorable Jafda, you won't say because you want to be people of Mother Tele to be registered in the KZN and say KZN too. Look, it's okay. I think that one, it's a matter that we will look at. I note the issues that are being raised. Now, as you are asking questions, two respectable honorable members, they do something I can't call in the Zulu, and I won't use that word. But because their hands were up, after others had asked questions, then I must recognize them. Before you answer, I know you are quite an intelligent team that can collect all the questions and answer them. Honorable Jafda and Honorable Mandel.
Thank you, sir. No, there is nothing much. The only thing I just wanted maybe more clarity on it is the regression that seems to have taken place in as far as the audit report is concerned. More especially when they say that now they have this the financial systems and controls in place and are correctly implemented, but on the other side, there is that regression from a clean audit to an unqualified audit report with the opinions. And also, I just wanted to know whether are there no vacancies in spite, because I don't see anything talking on vacancies here, in spite of the resignation that occurred.
Thanks, sir. Also, let me start by appreciating the presentation, sir. But I'm attracted to the slide number 14, which is able to illustrate that there are more females than male employees within the diamond and precious metals regulator. 66 females and 53 males. I come from a province, that being the Eastern Cape, which is well known for providing unskilled laborers into this sector of mining. And when I look at there's only 3 unskilled employees as males and 5 unskilled females. And I just wonder, in terms of the spread of the totality of employees that are in the regulator, where are they mainly consolidated? Is it around Gauteng, or is it around spread throughout the country? But also, that brings me to also asking as to how are the posts advertised? Is it mainly focusing on urban areas, or are we able to reach out to those marginalized communities located in rural areas who have no access to the kind of media and marketing tools that actually reach out to them? So I'd like to really understand the model embedded in there. because we would want to see particularly our unskilled laborers become capacitated and trained to being skilled laborers. I just want to look at the model in terms of the regulator, what it has in-house. On what Honorable Matala was focusing on, Chairperson, on slide number 16 on page 8, in terms of the many warnings we see here, verbal warning, written warning, final written warning, what kind of misconduct are we speaking about? And is this perhaps one of the issues the AG was looking into, that the regulator has no real force to take decisions in terms of dealing with misconducts? If someone had been found to have engaged in a certain misconduct, so to just deal with the matter and have them dismissed? Because as you can see from there, has just been far too many warnings and zero dismissals. I want to understand in terms of the regulator as to what the reasons behind these misconducts have been for them to be prolonged in a number of warnings. At slide number 17, Chairperson, there are internal bursaries for staff within the regulator. And they've indicated there to have given 5 to males and 6 to females, 3 to females, as well as an internship program that they have run there. And I'd like to inquire, are there any other bursaries in terms of recruiting, particularly matriculants that are looking to go into the field and study in the blind? And lastly, Chairperson, on slide 25, regulator talks about the transformation unit. And this is of key interest to me, Chairperson, particularly when we are talking to an industry that is mainly white, male-dominated, and particularly Jewish-dominated industry. How do you ensure that we are able to see this sector transform? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. We're still there. There's something they call, they say ignorance is very expensive. It's quite expensive. So I don't want to sit here. I know you have explained it. And until it shrinks, maybe for other honorable members, it shrinks. Maybe we'll be able to say I'm lucky. Can you, that's my start, can you again remind us about this bows? Is it bows, bows, or whatever? Boss. Boss. No, I don't want to say boss, because there's another one left to me. so that we are quite reminded that I don't want to sit here and pretend as if I still know. I know you explained it then, you explained it in the, what was this, but then you have to explain it again here, because an ignorant person can mislead the whole committee. So I don't want to do that. That's why I say it's expensive. Two, can you clarify this issue? I'm not a China person, but can you clarify this issue so that we can understand the issue of import-export and local beneficiation? You made mention of the fact that China, whether that was by example, China does not produce diamond, but a major trader in diamond. And when I was sitting here, I started to be concerned, because somewhere we once saw a craft that was so much that we're taking out than what we are manufacturing. And so that we can also have got an understanding on the regulation, whether the regulation, we should look at other means or other ways of reinforcement. But I had that issue. But this also gets complicated by the fact that at least I learned something today. you know, when you, sometimes you can get one word and you go around and say, ah, maybe I'm going to be clever, I want to know something that others don't know. That Africa produces 60% of the world diamond. Now that's what I'm saying, when you talk about the issue of China, it begins to worry me to include divorce and the fact that you are beginning to look at mechanisms where you make this now something that becomes, if one were to say, formal or an official entity of the country. Linked to this thing, I think you also made mention that one of the motivations about the boss is the fact that the majority of countries that do trade in diamond now, not just China, don't produce diamond. And you made an example of Israel. So I'm asking, can we just to have a sense of the level of regulation? No, from my side, Joe, this one, let us not discuss it. Ne? Let's just accept the part that you say you are working on it. I fundamentally disagree with you, and I don't want us to make an issue. Finding people with disabilities or responsibility. I don't want this excuse that you are working with diamonds and that we have to sweep them and so forth. That becomes discrimination on its own. So I don't want to make you feel guilty when you go out of this thing, because that way it sounds like we're not sensitive to them. And it may create an impression that the only people with disability are those who can't read. There are people who are in a wheelchair who can do the work and highly educated for that matter. There are people who may be deaf, not necessarily the country, but also we can say those who are educated simply because we can't create a conducive environment for them, because there are mechanisms that they can use in order for them to become relevant to the industry. So I'm saying the problem that you have is that once you've got a zero and then you put that argument, it then completely undermines even the efforts that you are putting in place. To say you are looking for something that you are not hopeful that it will achieve anything about it. So let's just leave at that point where it says, as an entity, you are working and we will only encourage you to strive on to make sure that next time when you come here, let's find them. It's our duty to take latitude. Otherwise, if we are going to look for them under the normal environment or normal circumstances, we look for everyone, then we're not going to help them. So I'm saying put as much effort as possible. We're not saying obviously take them and place them in where there is no basis of qualification. But also the many mechanisms, and I think for some of us will help where we have to do, to say look at the approach also you can apply if you want to do. I'm just saying this so that next time you don't go out and they become the first one to say, no, in that entity we have got no trust or confidence, because from the leadership itself, it doesn't show commitment to me. It does worry me. I must say, I'm very impressed in the first place. Very impressed with your gender balance. So it's quite interesting. 56 females, and I think in every respect it goes well. That's the finishing touches. I'm not a gender activist, neither am I. But once a structure, now let's see the change there at the top too. If the structure is a 66-53, the top can't be 9-4. You know why? Sometimes I always say the problem then it says the ratio that that's 66 or the rest below is at the behest of the ones above. There is no conversation at the top. I'm saying it's a very good work. All what you need to do now is what I would call is an adjustment to make sure that whatever you do, you play within. But in terms of what you have, I've not seen so far since I've been here an entity that has done what you've done. I'm saying it's now at your disposal to say within what you have to affirm and show that you didn't just put, but
you've got commitment to make sure that, because at all your levels, from professionals and skills, the ratio reflects the output below, except at the top level. But that doesn't mean you're not doing. I'm saying, for now, you passed with flying colors. You did the balance, but you went extra. So I think that to me, it becomes an issue. Now, I know it's not part of your brief today, but I think as a committee, it might help to understand. You see, you said your own words, that the treasurer gave you and then a latitude to work on the surplus, and unfortunately you happen to catch because of the project that you are undertaking, relocation, if one were to use that word. It might help at some point just for us to peep through, because we sit here, I know this thing, we sit here and say the surplus, and only to find that to say on record at the time of coming to the committee, there was, we don't want to go out here and say the surplus, but we'll wish to understand. So based on what you presented now, how far you have gone so far, we must get a sense whether that surplus, it can sustain you, or that surplus is something that even the treasurer itself is making a good recommendation to say you can tap from it. And this to me makes me worried on one issue. It's like a kid who knows that I always had beaten up and decides that no, today I'm going to keep quiet even if things are not going right. Look, you said when you are dealing with your challenges that on finance you're no longer going to be complaining. If you're not going to complain here and keep and say, no, whatever, it's okay. No, we want you. Where you feel you are not getting what you want, where are you going to go to? You must come here, tell us. We can't say go to the surplus or go somewhere else simply because you are not going to. Yes, you agree, you work according to what is within your means or is provided. But it means the fact, I appreciate the fact that you are able to reflect what was your proposed budget. I think it was 67. And you ended up getting 48. Eh? And you said 44. Then you decided that, okay, we will work within what we have. But it's the duty of this committee to look at whether that 44 that is provided to you is something that we must rest and say it is correct, or we should push this committee to say, no, that team, that entity requires that there must be an adjustment that is being made. And that adjustment is informed. That's what you must consider as a comment. You're informed by this particular mandate. I'm just making an example now. I'm not saying that should be your answer. That honorable members now are beginning to ask a question. For the record, I'm sitting here, you are a diamond regulator. General Force was going to ask where are the major deposits of diamond. The last time I checked, it was here in the Northern Cape. I'm making an example. Now, the risk exists that proximity between where you may have large concentration, even your Kimberley process, will tell you that you are reflecting on what we know to be. Now, if it's only about Joburg, I'm just making that issue. So it might be an issue that begins to say, part of this segment was focusing on 1, 2, 3, and therefore, with what works in priority on, it's because we had to forget, to forfeit these other areas of focus, and then say, this is what primarily we are compelled to work on. So you don't shift when you are here. You shift after we have gone and say, I've spoken to all of them, even the committee seems to be unable to see what we see, or at least we must have a sight. That's the point. So, thank you. But you can provide answers on those issues.
Thank you, Chairman. There's quite a number of questions that have been asked. Let me start first with your input, so that I don't forget them. Number one, I start with the last one that we have just alluded to. May I also express my appreciation to say that I should not, or the regulator should not, keep quiet about this thing. Keep on raising it to the community, for the community to see how they can assist us in this shortfall in the allocation, as opposed to the budgeted amount. I appreciate the comments that I have noted. We will definitely continue doing that. The second one that I want to address, and I'll use the words, you know, perhaps it was irresponsible and ignorant of me on the zeros that we have, and I want to withdraw a statement, Chairman. I'm sorry about that. I said we are working on it, but perhaps sometimes when you talk, you forget that there are sensitive words that may, you know, arouse certain things. I withdraw that. We are, all I'm saying, zero at the moment, but we are working on it, and we need to report differently in the future. And I was not protecting anything. It was just a mistake, and I'm saying it was being ignored. I'm sorry about that. I think the big one that you asked is about the boss establishment, that I must go back and highlight it again. As I've said, it was actually established by those people who established it in order to actually enhance the trade of diamonds. The trade of diamonds is the cutting portion, but it also includes the exchange in rough from one country or one source to another. The fact of the matter, like I've mentioned, these countries, they are the countries that actually are very much advanced in the technology of diamonds. Israel, for example, some of the sophisticated machines are actually manufactured there. They were never, as this industry was developing, to realize that they don't have diamonds, so they must advance in the technology of processing of diamonds. This is where it comes from. And unfortunately, Africa was left. It's waking up, Africa. And when I'm saying Africa, I'm not talking about South Africa. African continent as a whole. I think South Africa was the only country where there was beneficiation. Because as much as you know that we are in Africa, but to a certain extent, in terms of mining and related, we are also very competitive and highly respected abroad. So these countries that I have mentioned, they actually looked into the technology of processing this commodity fairer. And they went and invested in this technology, which at the end of the day, their technology is the one that was being sourced to do whatever one wants to do. And basically, that's an infrastructure they have built. To fight with it, we have to robustly work hard. Africa as a whole now, every country that is producing, they're also looking into this area of also beneficiating their diamonds. I'm leaving other minerals, I'm just talking about the diamonds, because buses are more related to diamonds. Now, what we are trying to do is to say that we must counteract this. You can only do it by also considering the technology that is there and inviting, and some of the comment was, why can't we talk to the Indians or the Chinese, whoever, to come and invest there? I did not put it in the report. It's currently something that we have started considering, you know, in order to cap up the biggest outflow of diamonds or exports of rough diamonds to other countries. But I'm saying, this type of industries, you have to exchange technology, otherwise you will be left behind. Botswana relaxed, they are new as they are. They came and left from us. But the government decided that they would relax measures and make, you know, the trade conducive and flexible. And as such, most beneficiaries went there. We are saying they were here, and they are still here, some of them. Perhaps there's something that we should do better also, because we still believe South Africa is still a best gateway for investment in Africa. In terms of the infrastructure that it has, anybody doing business in Africa would want to do with South Africa because of the infrastructure that is already in place. The countries I mentioned include India,
Android, Israel, China, and others.
America are the largest also consumer of jewelry. So most of the diamonds also will find, either in the polished or in the, mostly in the polished, will find its way also into the U.S. because they are the largest consumer. We have to turn the wheel around also to make Africa have the taste of this internet in jewelry. At the moment, we don't have it. That is why the only way, even our police, it finds its way out. There are statistics, and I think I'll be answering some of the questions that has been asked. There are statistics that shows actually in the annual report itself how many diamonds, rough diamonds, were offered to beneficiaries and how much was beneficiated up until the year. And I think the page there, it's page 30, it is outlined in there, which shows this was, and I think it's honorable Smith to ask that question. It's indicated there. It's fine if you look at the year, even though we're trying, but it shows the trend is increasing. And we should just be positive about that and just try to enhance that trend to actually diversify it in whatever manner that we can come up with. So basically, that's how we are researching it. Unfortunately, because we are not operating in the of the boss, I'm just telling you what we have researched, what we have seen. But we have seen there's so much exchange on the streets. Remember that eventually this will have a positive spin-off in terms of the GDP and the revenue that comes to the country. If the trade is enhanced, people pay taxes, isn't it? So we are looking in that context. But also it will create jobs. This will actually help us enforce what the Honorable Smith was saying. Why can't we tell these people? So there will be a boss. Come and be a member of us here. We've got diamonds that we can let to beneficiate, create jobs here. That's what we're looking at. Unfortunately, we're working on so many things at the moment, eh? But that's not an excuse again. But that's one of the things I might not have reported on it. The movement of people who come here, the licensing, and maybe because I'm mentioning it, this past week actually we have demonstrated, and maybe you have heard complaints if you've got members that are coming to you. We have had people who came here without licenses. On that particular week, I was receiving a day, 24 hours. Why are you expecting this? And we made sure that we sent out our inspectors. And to an extent that people were complaining, but they were allowed by the people who licensed them here, who don't have licenses, come in numbers, Indians. That feel like a kumbi to go to a certain place to buy diamonds without, and we stopped that. So we are working on that. It was a message that we're sending. We have sent out, I've instructed that the communicator must be said that we will not tolerate this. And that's the start of saying to them, no, we want to work with you, but come now and invest on the ground. Don't use other people. And we have to talk to our licensees as well. You are not benefiting by this. Let you make these people part of the licensees of this country together with you. Then we can change the situation. I don't know whether it answers some of the questions, so that when we come to it. So, in short, I can't give you the most details, but like I'm saying, it's going to take us 3 years. We know that they are working. They hold meetings and conferences every year. And when you are part of them, the exchange of goods becomes easier because you deal with, among yourself, as business people. And it becomes better now in that way. We see China, when they open Shanghai, it opens it, and you have to consider free zones. Dubai is doing very good. There are so many investors. In actual fact, my country is not run by the Arab people. They are just in the position of taking decisions. But business, the economy is run by foreigners. In all difference of whichever. Particularly Indians, not mostly Chinese, but Indians and other people from other countries. So this is the type of thing that we are looking. Let's see how we can open the trade. As long as it can come and also develop the things as such as job opportunities, lack of jobs, and the industry, the diamond industry, in terms of the beneficiation, is not a big industry compared to the overall mining in South Africa. It is a section. But we can also, no matter how the numbers is, I think we can also make a difference in that regard. I mean, when you say, you talk about a lot of employees, I'm sure if we can
achieve 5,000, it will be a lot.
Quite a lot.
And so will be exceeding. The numbers in the past, the record 2003 employees. So it has gone down than 1,000. So we have to work hard to do this. One of the reasons was the actual economic crisis that actually affected the diamonds mostly from 2008-2009. There's a trend that shows that there will be a change. We just have to positively assist that trend to work positive. Hey, I know you might not say me, but we're working on this on a regular basis. We will be dealing with this and see how far we are. But that's as far as I can explain the best. They actually pronounce it and it's spelled B-O-U-R-S-E. So it's different from the boss. So it's like best when they do it. I don't know what exactly it means. I still want to know what it means. But I think it means enhancing the trade. Yes, you know. No, Chinese way. Yeah. And then, if you allow me just to move from yours, we'll still engage, you know, on a regular basis. Let me just go now by sequence. I will leave the one of deficit. I'll just want to give them. I want to talk about the DEC now, which is a new thing that has just come out. I would have actually expected that sooner or later it would be coming. There was an endeavor last year to try and place DEC in the Western Cape. We considered that license. We looked at the statistics. The proposal was to partner with a private licensee of ours in his premises and open a DEC, which means the regulator would have to have or eventually have employees here, which was not on the budget of the regulator, which was not planned to happen like that. The country, in terms of the Diamonds Act, the DEC was declared to be in punishment. There can be further declaration, but it has to be on the basis of merits that would be submitted, but the minister can consider, because of 1, 2, 3. When we look at the statistics of diamonds, the Western Cape is the least in the numbers. I don't have them here, because although I know I'm dealing with, I have a second application, which I'm dealing with, which I also will process it in terms of, by the book, in terms of what I must look at and respond to it accordingly. The first one, we had to, unfortunately, to refuse that request. Number one, in a regulatory regime, it can only happen when it was the boss, maybe, that you can declare that other area as part of the boss, which would be mandated to deal with export and imports like in other countries. But as a regulatory regime, you can't regulate a client and then partner with the client to do certain regulatory implementation. It does not happen. Nowhere else in this world does it work like that. But also, we couldn't look at another mechanism because of the number of diamonds that come from the Western Cape. The larger amount of diamonds comes from the Northern Cape, as the chair already said, Northwest Gauteng, Cullinan Mine, which produces the best. But also you have the Limpopo Venetia, which is producing quite a number of mines. Most of the companies, there might be companies here in the Western Cape, but the production would overlap into the Northern Cape, Namakwaland area and those other areas. So what we are getting, and the applicant was not necessarily a producer, was a diamond dealer, so who buys ever? So it did not have justification. Up until now, I'm looking at it, what other motivation it is, I don't see the reason. If we do that with the little, but I say because we can't partner government now with a private on implementation of government laws. But on top of that, the Northern Cape is the one that is going to jump first and say, but we, the diamonds that are producing, Western Cape, Northwest also come. I'm not talking about Gauteng because Gauteng is already established there. So it is a challenge, but we're dealing with it. And I can say, maybe it will end up also now, because of the decision that has been taken, also been raised. You know, as the chair said, every region will now demand that now we also want to be. So we look at the implications thereof and the financial, particularly the financial implications. But the amount that you really would fly people here or establish a structure here for that amount of diamonds. Otherwise, I'm definitely sure we'll be opening ourselves
to all manner of criticism and challenges, as everybody will say, even us, and with the fact. So that's how I can answer it for now, but it has come to us. I am now currently dealing with the second one from the same applicant, and I have to respond. But I'm saying I'm going to apply the rule of the law as mandated. I think that's how I can answer it. Maybe before, if you can just answer this one of the increase in deficit. Are we having an increase in deficit, as Honourable Lori?
Thank you, sir. Honourable Member. With regards to that, it's not an area where the members should be worried with the increase in deficit, because if you're looking at the financial performance of the regulator, especially during the year under review, 3.9 million rand were invested in property, plant and equipment, which in short I can say is assets. And if you're looking again on page 80 on the annual report, we report a performance surplus of about 7.7 million rand, which was a surplus. But now if you consider things that if it's minus or if we include the non-cash movement, which now dropped the surplus to the performance surplus to 3.7 million. And we had an abnormal expenditure at the end of the day because now we have to account for it. So at the end of the day, then we accounted for a deficit of that 4 million. So it's not a worrying factor if you're looking at the financial performance of the regulator as a whole.
Maybe I can ask Mr. Topor also to have an input. I've already said that he's the man responsible for the finances of the regulator as the chairperson of the finance committee. Just to add on what you said. Thank you.
Chairperson, honourable members, I'm Ruelan Buckford. I've been chairperson of the Finance Committee of the Regulator for the last 5 years, and I can concur with management that this is an issue that we are carefully watching, and add that the service in the regulator through the PFMA process is completely ring-fenced, so that management applies formally under different, they call it, capital applications to actually get access to this money, or B, that we have treasury approval to use this money for both capital as well as for working costs, items truly be required. On the issue of the deficit, Section 10B of the law is working really well, and the major producers, the Beers, Yekra, and Transex, have very positively and proactively responded, and from that regard also, the deficit, if it is to become an issue, is probably at the moment more 5 years away than next year, if you like. Because inflation is an issue and the grant is not increasing at the moment.
Thank you very much, Chair. Going forward, I think I've made it very clear about the one with disability. It appears from various members. I'm not going to, I've withdrawn, and all I can commit that we're going to deal with that matter. I think there's something that Honourable Matala asked about the explanation, and I don't think it is from the, it is not definitely from my presentation, it must be from the book about the disciplinaries that have been taken. This is a normal procedure that we apply by National Prison to report that this is what happened. They're very cosmetic. It's not huge violations. It's small violations, like maybe for that month somebody has abused the use of a cell phone by going above the limits and so on. This is just to try and show that management does not take nonsense in terms of people that do not behave in accordance to what they're supposed to when they use the finances of the organization. So some verbal warnings are given. Some written warnings, if you think that this person maybe has done it for the second time, doesn't matter whether it's in 6 months or what, to say that you seem to be misbehaving, we're giving you the warning now. Because in terms of a disciplinary process, you have to have a paper trail when you deal with these issues. Until you can warrant it, you have to hire somebody that this person has been warned from now for the last year or for the last 2 years, doing one and the same thing, or related. So basically, yes, thank you very much. Yes. But who? The person can see, but we have that such instances.
which are still ongoing. That's why they just reported that there's investigation. I'm sure you have seen that. They're still ongoing. Yes, action. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I think you're very helpful. I'm really happy about your support on this. The pooling of professionals, I can rest assured you I can commit. I have no threat. I have seen every time like there was a question what happens maybe to post that they become vigilant. We do the normal process. We'll advertise those posts. First we'll look at internally. If we don't have an internal person, will go outside, national, all over. And maybe also I can come in. We've got, if you could, in our program, show you who this person comes from, you'll see that it covers actually the whole country abroad. We've got people from KZN, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Northwest, Western Cape. We are covering every region, almost. We're from KZN and Eastern Cape. So, yeah, that's it. That's how I can. The transformation unit, like I said, the board a year ago realized that when we check, particularly given the processes that have been, investigations that have been done, there's very little that is achieved. So the board said the licensing committee will look into this thing, not only to come from management, it had to be reported through licensing. But over and above that, I thought that to get, for starters, it's two people. That must actually go and check, but why this particular client did not. So we have just started that thing. But we are seeing that it looks like it's going to yield good results, because the report that I'm getting are different from the statistics that we are getting. Those people would go out there, just be told this is what is happening. We found in verification. So we are now starting to do verification. No, we want to see that. If you say this is your BE, we talk to that person. And we found in some cases that there were trusts that were created, but the people who were the members of the Tata Trust did not even know about it. So I think we are going to make a difference. For now, as just reported, the proof is, as soon as now we have good results, achievements, we are going to report. This is where we were in terms of report. Now this is where we were. And we can be proud to go and verify that point out of the fingers. The beneficiation license, it takes 2 months. What time frames are 2 months? The question was, how long does it take? 2 months to apply for a beneficiation license to get. The 257 that the Honorable mentioned, I think I've also addressed the Chinese thing. The plan is actually to see if they can actually support the systems that we have on the ground, rather than take the diamonds out. But again, I'm speaking with caution. Again, every business person wants to maximize the yield that they can make. We are not saying that we must take the value of the diamonds down. We must just see how we change the situation, understanding, and that's why we are also engaging with the industry itself. So these are some of the things that we are engaging with. Vacancies I've addressed. I think the Honorable Mandela, the 53-66, yeah, the chairperson has also commented about it. We look at the zeros. We just address the zeros. The misconduct, the national treasury, I've already mentioned. Transformation unit, I've mentioned. Boss establishment. There's a one of misstatements. Yeah, he can explain it, but it actually means, if you look at it, that whatever was a finding there was an agreement that, yeah, there was a difference, and that difference, if you see, I think it's in Note 27, page, it means it was corrected immediately. I don't know whether it's a menu you can add more, but it means it was accordingly rectified, whatever the AG is finding.
Thank you. I can couple this question, if Honorable Chair allows, with the question that was also raised by Honorable Member Chafta and Ms. Rita with regards to the final audit opinion. Now, what happened with this reinstatement is that in 2012, we procured a Microsoft license for our computer equipment. Now, at that time, the recognition of that particular software was regarded as a capital or as a software itself. So we recognized it as capital and then we depreciated it over the full year. Now, on the renewal period, which was the previous financial year for that particular contract, Microsoft has now changed their rules and it was not really communicated. Now, it's no longer regarded as an asset. So it is like an expense because now it's an annual renewal of that particular license. Now, because the previous years were already depreciated as such, and the auditors also picked up that when we renew it this particular year, the whole scenario has changed. So we have to change. We not just start here and continue. Let us also look into correcting the previous financial. So every result, we also disclosed it in page 76, if I'm not mistaken, to say what really happened. The procurement design of that particular license was done in accordance with the full procurement processes. So there is no misconduct. Maybe that is one of the things that was raised by another visitor today. Is this part of the misconduct? But no, this has nothing to do with the audit finding, but it's just that the interpretation or the change in the terms of the license had an effect on already what we disclosed in the financial statement itself. So I believe that's what you have filed.
Chairperson, also I am from private sector and after a couple of years of clear audits, the scrutiny we are now facing at the regulator to me is almost at the same level of quality that we are facing out there, and it's simply just, you know, let's call it an unintended consequence of what it is we've been doing, and I think it's, well, we are from inside the regulator working as well as we can to get back to clean, but it's come now. And I don't know what's happening in other state organizations. The only thing I can say, when we got the first clean audit, you know, the hurdles we needed to jump was a lot lower, and there were very few state organizations anywhere at stage who got it, the second one, the third one. And now they come with full teams of very serious people for very long periods of time, almost exactly the same that they do out their checks. So.
Thank you, Mr. Delport. I think there's one that I just oversighted or left. The buzzeries one, external buzzeries. Unfortunately, the regulator does not have external boundaries, but we are required in terms of our facilitation, in terms of the charter, that the industry must do that by offering boundaries and internship, I mean, leaderships to outside people. So we are required to do the facilitation, but we don't have the budget. We can only, with the money that we get from MQA, to develop the skills inside internally. So we use that latitude, that leverage that we have through the law, that the industry. This is where now the transformation also we're achieving. What have you done in terms of giving your own people and also outside, what is it that you are doing? That's how I can answer.
Okay, thanks very much. Just on that one, let me give you the advice again I gave others. Nothing stops you not to work with the institutions of higher learning, including the Department of Higher Education, on issues of training, particularly the FITAS. They've got a lot of money sitting there. All what you need to do is to find people to expose. So don't sit and look at what you have in internal as a test. Look at what resources are there available where you can build the skills. It can help you. They may have even people sitting. All what they want is where to expose those people. You can even address your problem of the zeros and people with disability. Even if you even develop your internal academic or skills capacity, you still have. So I would still advise the same thing. That I think the point is that you don't only look at providing just balance. You also look at what then can you help to build the a pool where these required skills can be found. Second, I think I must say we have to worry. And we must worry more than we are worried about those who have been doing wrong. You see? I don't want to go to the Bible.
but we know that Ndodaleolahleko, when he came back, he was given that preference because he saw that he was lost. So when he came back, the father did not say, no, you are a prodigal son, you are born, there is nothing for you. So the little that was right was doing. And that's why the others were complaining, because they've been right all along. No. The problem is that once the graph goes down, we must be reassured that it's going up. We don't want you to match those who have not been doing right. We want you, they must come up to you. We don't want you to go and meet them halfway. No, they must, if they go, they try their level best to come. So the reason we may sound like we are very strong on you is that as a good child, we expect you to maintain that. You see? We don't want you to be wrong and then we say, now this one has been right, and then you begin to copy tradition. That is not correct. We want you to stick on that tradition. Because by the time you go down, it may be very difficult. Even that one, the chair of the audit, that one of the 5 years, now we don't want the promise of a potential deficit in future. We want something that says, with what we are doing, rest assured, there will never be a deficit. We will never come to this table and ask you to consider us because we are in a state of chaos or disaster. So, we are not saying, what is good about even those opinions are self-said, is that they don't talk about financial mismanagement, absence or lack of government and so forth. They talk about simple things like you made an example now on issues of misstatements and so forth. So it means to a certain degree you just need to improve on those things that we may take that for granted that they are non-issues. But I think we can't live here without saying also that consider what the AG said. Part of what they said as findings is that there is no consistent interaction in relation to internal control, except at the time where people are supposed to account. I'm not saying that's the case with you, but the general observation that they made. We therefore say is consider not just those you have in your internal audit committee, but how can you build a better relationship with the AG office so that from time to time, rather than when you're supposed to go on the account, they can help you even to rectify those things before they can talk about going to a audit. It does help to a certain degree. So that you know in advance what to do. So when they come and correct, they will come and correct you not because you must meet a particular deadline with the information. But I think on that note, we appreciate and we'll take the commitment. The apologies on all the issues accepted unconditionally. So don't worry, including the one. The only thing we will hold you responsible is the commitment. You made 2 commitments, primarily, not only, but primarily, is the one of rectifying what we see there on your equity. 2 is the one that says, rest assured, when we come back here, we'll be telling you all the good news. We'll be where we belong, where we've been. That one will hold you. We don't want people to explain afterthoughts, because it becomes an afterthought if there's already a decision or an opinion from the AG. So those 2 will hold you responsible. We forgive you, but it doesn't mean we are not going to hold you responsible for the commitments you've made. On that note, thank you very much. State Diamond Raider, I'm sure you are ready. As usual, you can't eat frequently. So there will be no tea break. We'll go straight to State Diamond Raider. Once they are preparing, can we just stretch our legs for 5 minutes and come back? Thank you.
Thank you.
This is my first experience in this community. Okay, honorable madam.
Mr. Chair, before we start, there's a matter which I think is of some importance which I'd like to raise before the State Time Trader presents. And that is that, to my knowledge, we're still waiting for information that we requested on the names of the biggest clients of the State Diamond Trader. Now, if I look at my minutes, I go back to almost exactly 2 years ago, 24th of October 2012, when I first made the request to Ms. Zikala, who I am sorry to see is not here, about, at that stage, the top three clients, names and quantities of the State Diamond Trader. Her response was, she will send the information to the committee if the committee requires it. I've raised it on other occasions. In this, the new incarnation of this committee are minutes of the meeting of 2nd July 2014. This year, our minutes say there was a request that the SDT provide the committee with the names of its customers and details of how much each purchased. Now, we did get a response, but the response was no names, just categories. And as I recall, we asked for clarification. Now, unless that has been forthcoming, I have a big problem with the State Diamond Trader presenting to us today. Could we start by just asking them whether they are able to produce that information now, or whether they can produce it within a short period of time? And I'm not talking now weeks or months. I would like it within 48 hours, or certainly by the end of this week. Because otherwise, Mr. Chairman, I'm afraid I'm not prepared to go on with this, because I cannot believe what they are telling me. Because it is becoming apparent to me that they are trying to hide information. And I want to know what information they're hiding and why they're trying to hide it.
Any of your committee members? I don't eat frequently.
Chairperson, I think we must allow the trade diamonds to continue presenting this their annual report to us now. As we are hit by time, we should be finished by this thing. And then I think on what the Honorable Lorna said, I'm afraid people's names come before the committee when they don't know. So I don't know what the law is saying on that. But let's go a little first before anything could come to us, so that at the end of the day, we don't put this committee on the spotlight for something that we didn't do. Let's go and seek for an advice. And then for now, let's allow them the business of the day. Because when we started, you presented the agenda, please agenda to us, and there was no any objection from members. You could have raised that before that. Now we are waiting for the trade diamond to present if this is something else. Can we continue with the agenda as we agree? Thank you.
Any idea of those?
Let's like to probably start by welcoming Honorable Lorimar's input. And I think if there's been information that is requested, we should ask the Secretary to follow up on that and see to what we can be able to gain and ascertain from the State Diamond Trader. But I think in all fairness, Chairperson and Honourable Members, we have requested the Diamond Trader to come out and present on the annual report, and I would like us to proceed in that regard so that the business of the day is achieved and recognized. And we can follow up on what Honourable Lorimar is raising. Thank you, sir.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The State Diamond Trader is, I suppose, aware of the request. So they might have information available. So
Maybe they should be asked before they start what the answer to the question is. Thank you, madam. Thank you, sir.
So, honorable members, let's start with this. And I think when the committee has made a decision, I'm trying to lay this out now. You will recall when it dealt with the issue from, what is this that thing? The SNK. And is it the quarry something? Yes. And there's a procedure that the committee has to follow if there's information that is not coming through. Secondly, as I sit here, Honorable Lorim, I really don't have power to any member in this committee. But I always say, in my view, let's look at what we want to achieve. But I can't sit here and say, no member must go out if he doesn't want to listen to a committee. But the danger and the risk with that is that that matter, in the absence of the member, has to fall off the table. Because it doesn't become. I wanted to suggest a simple thing. Take demonstrator. You have heard the comments from members. I don't want us to say whether you start or you end, but already before you could speak or present in committee, there is a question. I was going to say, can you do, including the point that is being raised, that in response to that, in the absence, because I think we must also acknowledge, when you go to do the, and I maybe you highlighted that point, Honorable Lawrence, when we go and do the recommendations, the things that we said, do we really need to repeat them? Because I said in one time, when I read some of them, there's almost a repetition of what was said in the, I think it's 2011, 2012, ne? And 2012, 2013. Now it's 2013, 2014. Now, I wanted to suggest a much more simplified to say in the presentation, there is an issue also that says, let's talk on the timeline. That in presenting, even if that was not part of your brief, you also respond to that issue. We can't say you can't. You respond to that issue. Although I don't understand, I wouldn't run away from going to 2012, but the things in the previous presentation, it was a little bit more modified. Secondly, I don't want us to jump the gun on the issue of, in inverted commas, the sensitivity or the relevance of that information. Whether it's an information that, how, if the answer is on the affirmative, it then rests with the committee and the chair of the committee on how to handle if the answer is on the affirmative. On how to handle. But if the answer is on the other side, there will have to be an explanation provided, and as a committee, we will then be able to respond on that explanation given, whether it's legal or what, or that explanation. So I think for me, the issue, what I don't want us is to create an environment as though, as a committee, we don't have capacity. When an information doesn't come through, the committee has got a way that it must extract and access that information. So, I'm not sure whether it doesn't cover honorable members. But as I said, honorable Lorim, I can't sit really and say. But if in the course of answering the question, and there are members who decided to leave, it will become difficult now to resuscitate the matter on the basis that it's like somebody said, I've got no other option or alternative but just to decide to leave this thing. And I can assure you, if all of us were to leave when they present, it would mean what you've taken as a decision will never be able to come to the committee. I'm not denying, I don't think the committee
must run away from following what it is allowed by law to do and rules. The rules are clear. If you don't want, there is a process that must follow. And I think in the answers that will be given, including that one when the presentation is made, as a committee we'll have to take it seriously. One, are we satisfied with the answer? Secondly, is there any resistance in providing that information? And if it is resistance, what recourse do we have as a committee? I'm not sure whether it hasn't addressed the honorable member.
So I was of the view, Chair, that the input, it does offer very well, it does hold water, that we continue with this meeting. And as long as the Honourable Rudman has raised those things, that they're in the minutes, like you said, we'll be having a time as a committee to see on those minutes, to check as to whether it's fruitful or fruitless for us to engage on a thing that is not going to benefit the committee. I would suggest a closure on the issue, Chair, and continue with what you are here for.
Yes, then agree. Let me just correct you. I was not referring to honorable man. I'm referring to the committee. That not cover the issue that has been discussed. I only accept if you say, no, you think that is what you agree with what I'm suggesting. And then any member of the committee will then, if there is an objection, make that objection. If nothing stops, will then make a ruling on the objection. Are you seconding what Honorable Matala says?
Yes, Chair, I'm moving to what you are suggesting. I'm seconding what you are suggesting. Can you please move?
Okay. Honorable Gordon?
Mr. Chair, I really don't find that sufficient. I find that a 2-year wait, and I understand that other people haven't been involved in this committee for as long as I have, so they do not share perhaps the same sense of frustration. For me, a 2-year wait means two things. One is the information being hidden. Two is the State Climate Trader does not take the committee seriously. Now, in my view, the committee should come down hard on that sort of behavior. I understand that I'm unlikely to prevail in majority view, but because that is not going to happen, in my view, this entity has no credibility. I can't believe a thing they say, and I think it would be a waste of my time to stay here and listen to them. So I must regrettably leave, but I can promise you that this issue will not disappear.
Okay. Can we... I don't want to predetermine things. Unfortunately, I can't foresee anything for now on the side of the committee. Honorable Smith?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Will you also be not my apology for you? Thank you.
Okay. Diamond Trader?
Honorable members, colleagues who are present here this morning, we thank you for the opportunity to appear before you this morning presenting our
annual. Okay. Now I'm looking at these honorable members. I'm now reminded that somebody in a match that was playing here at the Green Point was taken to the showers. So please, the gesture. Can you continue? We don't want anyone who's going to receive a red card because that person did not receive the red card because of not a player. So I've got no reason to ask the court official to advise me what happened. Continue, Chair. You can introduce the team too.
Thank you, Chair. And I'd like to personally and on behalf of the State Diamond Trader thank the remaining members of the committee for staying the course and giving us an opportunity to present our annual report for the year 2013 to 2014. With me, Chair, on my left is Mr. Conrad van der Ros, who is a sales manager. And then next to him is Ms. Norman Denyeva, the Chief Financial Officer, who is also going to conduct the presentation. And on my right is Ms. Nobuse Sidego, who is a legal officer in charge of governance, compliance, and legal matters. Chair, we have to apologize for the chief executive officer who was requested literally this past weekend by the Minister for Mineral Resources to accompany him as a member of a delegation that is attending a conference in Tianjin. I think Mr. Rapo also referred to that particular conference and his ability to go there. He would have been here by all intents and purposes. This invitation to address the portfolio committee preceded that invitation, but we felt it better that it had the attendance and that the CFO is quite capable of doing the presentation with the support from other colleagues. So, Chair, without further ado and in the interest of time, I'll ask the CFO to go straight into the matter. And with regard to the matter that has been raised, I will be then guided by your initial advice to touch on it in the process of this presentation and perhaps report to the committee the progress so far in dealing with the particular matter. And in that regard, I will ask our legal officer to deal with that as some of the issues that we are faced with regarding this request are legal matters that get to be dealt with properly and appropriately. Yes, sir.
Just as an opportunity, I'd like to greet everyone in the room. Our presentation this morning is going to first deal with the report that the Auditor General issued on the annual report and the financial statements of the State Diamond Trader for the year ended 31 March 2014. The report, that is the opinion of the Auditor General, is unqualified with findings. This was as a result of the following members. As a State Diamond Trader did not comply with the legislation with regards to the procurement process and subsequent internal controls. Both findings that were highlighted in the report, they relate to one another in respect of contracts that SDT entered into for a period of 1 year, which were extended with outsourcing importations. These contracts related to, amongst others, the following services. It was the IT services, it was employee assistance program services, it was travel management services. The State Diamond Trader members had taken a view of signing this 1 year contract with a clause that gave option for extension thereof, as this was made to assist and ensure that the entity exercised caution that is related to entering into longer contracts. As the entity, we acknowledge everything. And through the audit process, corrective measures were discussed, proposed by the AG, and accepted by the entity. The major measure that SDT needed to implement, even before the conclusion of audit, was to obtain approval for deviation from the procurement process. What it did, and of course this was after the event, therefore, the expenditure in relation to those findings remains irregular, and hence the opinion. But further to the recommendations made by the Auditor General and implemented by State Diamond Trader, State Diamond Trader sought advice from Auditor General on treatment of subsequent expenditure relating to the very same contract. We are now talking to the year 2014 and 15. Response on the advice sought was subsequently provided. And we want to ensure this committee that other than the issue of treating the subsequent expenditure, statement trader has since followed the correct procurement process on the contract that has come to an end since the audit. That was concluded in the opinion of the Auditor General, as well as the work done by the State Diamond Trader in addressing the matters raised. When it comes to the performance information, there was no finding on the predetermined objectives of the State Diamond Trader. I'm going to skip the slides and Chairperson and member, if you may allow me, that talk to the vision, mission, and go straight to the State Diamond Trader performance information. We've given a table that tries to explain the performance as audited by AG. During 2013 and 14, we made inspections that over 1 billion in terms of, sorry, it's just over 1 billion in terms of US dollars. 1 million in terms of US dollars. And of those inspections that we made, we purchased goods to the value of 527 million rand. That then represents 4% of what was declared to us and we inspected. And from the purchase we made, we sold to the value of 554 million, just over it. And those sales have cost the State Diamond Trader about 538.4 million. That gave us then a gross margin of 16.4 million, which in percentage terms is 3%. And the number of clients sold to were 46. And at the end of the financial year and the review, we recorded stock of 4.9 million. And the average age of the stock was 5 days. Going back to explain now the inspections, or to give more details to the inspections that we did. As you know, our inspections are guided by the amount of rough diamonds produced in the country. And legislation requires producers to declare their production to the State Diamond Trader. During 2013 and 14, it was seen that the quantity that is part of rough diamonds presented to the State Diamond Trader by producers increased by 17%. The very same number is measured in terms of value. It reports an increase of 9%. Any difference in increases resulted in the 7% reduction in the average price of the rough diamonds to the 154 US dollar per carat. However, it's surprising to explain or to say that an increase in production does not necessarily benefit the State Diamond Trader in terms of rough diamonds and access to support local beneficiation. A falling price is an indication of the reduction in the quality of rough diamonds produced. The amount that you indicated as inspections, it is an indication that we inspected 95% of diamonds produced in the country. And this can be verified with the statistics within the Imbali Process Certification Scheme. Now, talking to the purchases, we gave typical narration of the producers and the values that were purchased from those producers. quality precious raw diamonds from 9 out of 12 registered producers in the country during the year under review. But then there is a percentage of 5% which is an indication of producers that did not comply with the provisions of the Diamond Amendment Act of 2005. What we do with that, we do report to the regulator in the capacity as a regulatory body. But as the entity, we do make follow-ups with producers directly when it's apparent that the production is still ongoing. The same, the table that we gave you earlier is now presented graphically. Giving you the summary of the very same thing, when you compare them to the budget. During 2013 and 2014, as reported, we made sales of about 564.8 million. Again, the budgeted value of 351.3 million. That is a positive variance of 283.5 million. And recorded in percentage, for it is 67%, that is, it exceeded the budgeted sales by 67%. That goes with the cost of sales. That with the amount that we budgeted of 321.7 million, we exceeded the cost. The cost of sales was exceeded by 211.7 million. To give the total cost of sales of 538.4 million. And in terms of percentages, the balance is the same. And then when you go to the gross margin, as expected, it increased. The gross margin supported in terms of actual values increased by 6.7 million. We present now the information on sales by client segment from 2011 to 2014. We categorized our clients in terms of large and medium, mandate, niche, and other. During 2013 and 14, sales to large and medium clients decreased. And sales to the mandate clients increased. Why sales to the niche clients increased? We just didn't have record to talk to the absence in terms of the previous years or the historical years. The total number of clients sold to during the year under review as presented in the table earlier, 46, and the total value of the sales to the mandate client segment increased, as you saw, from 6.8 million to 55.9 million. In terms of numbers, our mandate client increased from 16 to 18 during the year under review. Looking further to these things, we want to inform the committee that the State Diamond Trader did not make profits from sales to its SDSA clients. This is indicative of the trader's ability to fulfill its developmental mandate while operating as a commercial entity. So, with the 554.8 million recorded of sales, which was an increase compared to the budget, the historically disadvantaged South African clients, we needed not to make profit from them, but the other segments of our clients. There are constraints placed on the State Diamond Trader by the requirement to purchase land for mine production, which necessitates sales to larger and more established clients that have the ability to cut and polish a wider range of rough diamonds. And alternatively, these large companies market these diamonds not required or not suitable for local beneficiation in accordance with legislation. The trader thus continued effort to identify efficient means to market the rough diamonds not suitable for local beneficiation. And it engages in pilot projects wherein it makes the trader able to get the cutoff that are desirable, which can then unlock the value that will at the end benefit the local industry. The trading margins for 2013-14, we recorded a 3% as is explained in that graph. So the same as the previous year. This 3% is reported to 15 million. Now talking to the performance, status of performance information and indicating as to how the state diamond data performs. The very first goal is to contribute to the goal, to the growth goal of the local diamond beneficiation industry. We achieved that goal. All the activities that were planned for the year were achieved, which among others, it was the approval of the marketing and implementation plan. And participation at various platforms, which includes Hong Kong shows, the dual leg, and information stands at mining endeavor. The second goal, which is to develop efficient means to market diamonds not suitable for local beneficiation. We had a pilot project approved with two major producers to select rough diamonds suitable for local beneficiation from the run of mines, as it previously reflected. The next one, which is to be efficient, innovative, and development-oriented organization. The following was achieved. Skills gap analysis was conducted. Sent. The dashboard for HR capacity was finalized and approved by the board. And the training of the diamond trainees, the job, on-the-job training now, which is something that is done after these trainees would have been taken to Kimberley for a period of 6 months to get the skill of sorting and valuing these diamonds. They are brought into the department, into the entity, to now carry out the activities themselves. The retention strategy was approved by the board. Further to that, human capital information. In total, State Diamond Trader has 19 officials. And it has about 9 of those as permanent officials. And of that, 5 were black females. Within the 9, the number of technical staff is 3. And of which 2 of those have since been promoted to senior positions. Because they showed the entity that they're capable of doing the job and ready to assume complex responsibilities. The total cost to company of the 9 members of the State Diamond Trader, however, in this case, including the training, which I'm going to talk to later, cost 5.2 million for the year under review. And that represents 10% of the operational expenses. We have secondments in total of 4 people, and 3 of these members, they are placed in operations. Now back to Danish. They were 6 during the year under review, and they are from the following provinces: Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Gauteng, and Northern Cape, and of that, 2 were females. During 2013-14, we had actually 4 resignations, but those were then filled. Now looking to the challenges and solutions, including those that we propose. One toilet of the state dam on trailer. E. Inadequate funding. What we do in order to mitigate that challenge, we are in the process of applying for an increase to our revolving credit with the Industrial Development Corporation. We also have the challenge in terms of having clients who lack the business skills and who also experience difficulty in accessing finance as well as the market. At the state dam on trailer, interventions that we have in place is the project of enterprise development, which talks to partnerships that we have, in one case, concluded with one of the industry players, in that we identified those that lack these skills and they'll be taken through these business skills in the form of incubation with these existing business companies. The other project that falls within the enterprise development, we are in the process of concluding it in terms of the memorandum of agreement. We are also exposing our clients to local and international exhibitions. Those are Hong Kong exhibitions. We're taking our own to those platforms in order to gain access to the market. One other challenge that I would really like to talk to is the very issue, we've already talked it as a constraint in any case, the issue of legislation requiring us to access only a run of money. And we've already talked to the fact that as a mitigating sector, we have these two agreements with the producers that would allow us to select that which we can sell or is desirable for local beneficiation, in order to unlock the value of the other customers. The other issue that is important to note is that of the market. Our business is a global business and it is governed by the market forces. Unfortunately, when it comes to market forces, it's saying that the market corrects itself. As a state, I'm on trader at the moment. We can't only say it has a solution to it. We become a price taker in some, in most of the situations, but of course, with the interventions that we'll get into if we are not in agreement with the producer. That, members and special person, concludes the SDG presentation. Thank you.
With the privilege granted to you by those dear honorable members of not missing out of the meeting and listening to you, I'm sure you will answer that outstanding question as a first issue. But before that, so that you don't sound like you came for only one item on you, we'll do the normal process. Any questions, honorable members? The only one thing I can guarantee you, all the people that are sitting here, they have never been a diamond. They have never been, probably maybe two words, in platinum. One thing common about all of them, they've seen gold. That's how I can guarantee you, they've seen gold. So, they are taking decisions when they match on I'm not sure. Maybe the CEO of regulator and the chair, at some point you must expose them on those areas.
I know the one thing. So that's the second item on the outstanding item. That I'm sure you have to respond to. Any questions or clarities, honorable members? Honorable Matala, honorable Tini. Okay. In that room.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't know what side is that you spoke of two people have resigned from your institution. Can I check with you what were the reasons behind the on the slide presents only job training for diamond trainees is that they are continuing for on the basis for 6 months, and this thing is only done in Kimber. This is you can get some clarity why Kimber, or is it because Kimber is where things are happening? I don't know, but you clarify. Thank you, sir.
Mind Chair, let's really welcome the report. In moving forward, I hear you talking about the client, that the client has been assisted by the IDC. I hear wrongly. Oh, okay. So I wanted to understand, just to unpack how they are being assisted by the IDC. You see, in another cave that I'm wearing, so they are assisting some kind of business with someone or whatever kind, not the one Chen spoke about. So Chen said now they are going to be involved with gold and whatever. So can you do that for me? When I raised my hand, first and foremost, it was the issue of an organizational structure. Now I can see that it's not a big structure, so you can't really expect a lot. But the work has been done there. It's a lot. Our life defense also. So, sorry about that. There's nothing that is serious about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Let's, Chairman, start on the slide 16. Page 8 of presentation, we have seen that other honorable members have decided to leave them. It has that there are total number of clients which were sold to during this year under review of 46. And also at the last bullet, it talks about Monday clients have increased from 16 to 80. Might this be the same list that was being inquired on, or is it a different list? I just want to get an understanding there so that we are able to address the issue when it rises. On slide number 4, Chair, there seems to be growth in the purchases, and I think it also speaks to sales from the years that are undertaken, 2011, 2012, going from 2012, 2013, and 2013, 2014. With the increase in sales, if you look at 2013, 2014, the year under review, we're sitting almost at about 554,863,725 of SDT sales in rents. How do we justify the state or government having continuously funding when in sales you are making such huge amount of sales? And where do we draw the line and let you run on your own and be self-sustainable? I think, sir, I will park it at that. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I will address the first question, and I'll start by apologizing for being at the heart of the disruption of the proceedings of this committee. I want to assure you as a committee that as a state down on data, we have nothing to hide. We are not trying to hide this information. However, we are constrained in the sense that the information requested includes other parties, and those parties have laws that are in their favor in this country. And while we may process this information, we need to be mindful of other constraints that we are encountering in this matter. Now, the information requested includes their names as well as the business information. And Chair, while we may lawfully process this information, if we obtain consent from them to process it, it is difficult to obtain this consent if we don't have a reason for requesting it. So my appeal to this committee is to just appreciate the position we found ourselves in, because we can provide the information, but if we give the clients why we are requesting it and why we need to process it, so we do have the constraint, and we request for just the appreciation on our part, on your part. Chair, we apologize for just whispering behind the speaker. But Chair, basically, the long and the short of what we are requesting this committee to assist us with is, and we do not want to throw this letter away from the head of the committee to say, you need to do this for us to be able to do that. And as I've already mentioned, we request this, just this, this appreciation that maybe, unfortunately, the member has left the room. He was still here. Maybe he could provide this committee with why this information is so important. Why does he require it? I appreciate that he started requesting it from 2012. And you have our undertaking as a state down on data that we are not disrespectful of this committee. However, we need just to be mindful of the rights of the data subject for this information.
In response to other questions, one was asking the reason for resignation. It was certainly the positions where we said the admin, finance and admin section of the data moderator, and now to the technical section, and the whole officials within those designations, they get attracted by offers outside state diamond trader. And we believe that was the only reason for the resignations that have been indicated. And the training is why Kimberley. It is Kimberley because it is offered by EBS. And it is a program that we started with a very, very first set of trainings. We found it to be comprehensive enough and filling our trainees enough to come and then be part of our operations and be able to do the production part of our business, the selling part of our business, as well as the marketing part. So that is the only reason that we chose the program that is offered by CBS. Then the mention of IDC was relating to the application that we are processing with IDC of increasing our revolving credit facility.
That is our major source of funding. If I may, maybe try to answer the question from Honorable Mandela as well, to say state demonstrator does not receive funding from the state. Its funding model is accessing a revolving credit from the Industrial Development Corporation in order to purchase rough diamonds. And from that, it must imagine the gross margin that will enable it to fund its operation. And the assistance that is referred to, maybe on the column of the, I mean, on the slide that we're talking to HGFA, we were saying we've got a partnership in terms of assisting our clients and would-be clients to gain the skill of running a diamond company or a diamond operation, and it doesn't involve an IDC in that case, member. It is one of the kinds. And the next question was, I think I did answer, which was talking to the funding. And therefore we can really say that since it's an establishment, the state demonstrator has proven to this committee as well as to the country that it is a good concern and issues of stability, they are not questionable. And if you look at our annual report as well as the financial statements, we've grown the equity of the state diamond trader to, in terms of the estimated surplus, over, I think, 50 million. Therefore, we can confirm and assure this committee that we continue to remain a going concern. Of course, the question on the slides that was talking to the managed clients and any other client that we have presented, where it's the very same list that is in question within this structure, yes. It is the very same list, but of course now it would only talk, it would be the clients that we've had for the period of 2013 and 2014. Okay. That concludes the round of questions that we've had. Answer the question.
Is that a full stop? No comma. Full stop. Okay. Switch off then. Let's start with this thing that sounds difficult. So the problem is that you put yourselves in this fix. I want to be honest with you. And you want now this committee to save you. You came to this committee here for the first time, 2012. Give your top three in a big company. You agree. You go, you don't come back. You are like that, someone is dead. All the footprints are in one direction, nothing comes back. All. You come again this time around. A worse decision is different than that decision you did not comply with. It now says, give us a contractual information with everyone that you have. You still agree. Then you go until you are invited. Then matter rising. You then remember, we've got a legal problem. It just can't be right, must be honest. You see, you are making a
an issue out of a mountain, out of a hill. Why do we do that? Well, this thing, whether you're hiding information or not, it's not coming from nowhere. It's coming from how you handle sometimes a matter that is much more simplified. We entered with companies, contracts of trade. And having done so, it would be difficult that on our own, without getting their consent, to agree. But the worst thing is that that information, if it is provided, it must be understood that there are competitors out there. But now we must deal with something that was necessary, not supposed to be an issue. So we must agree that you put us in trouble. There is only one way we can get out of that, so that you leave it to the committee. And I always say, when we do things, we must do things, and it's good to be friends. But when we do work, then let's deal with the work and the responsibilities. We'll still be friends, but when you are wrong, you are wrong. And in this case, you are not just wrong, you are absolutely wrong. Because the whole work now, you can see, the whole work that you are doing here is so difficult even to comment on it, because already there are people who have said, if these ones are coming, we close our ears. It's like they are not here. Then the committee must be divided. Don't give people reasons when they can't find anything. Now the only way I can tell you now, that is simple. We still want that information as you agreed. My advice, give us what you are giving us as an answer in writing. Two, at your own cost, go and seek legal opinion that will accompany what you are suggesting. Let the committee handle what you would have submitted. So it doesn't mean you would not have submitted the information. The part that I see this committee deserves an apology, that even when you can't say when you are constrained by something, you wait until you are invited to a meeting. You see? That's where it comes in, that then it means you undermined the committee. Otherwise, if this process was not here, we would not have known that information. You don't have to be called in order to provide what is requested. So in simple terms, can you provide us with what you are raising? We may understand it, yes. I don't think there's someone who doesn't understand. In fact, what you should have done, if one were to advise you, what you should have done from the word go, this thing was raised, you should have made the committee aware of the possible incorrectness of the decision. But once you collaborate with the whole process, and then at the end, when people say we can no longer, and then you start, it's like you are giving, you are making an excuse, not anything. And that is an advice, you can leave it also to the committee to say, if the committee says so, it does take liability for consequences if the information was to be. So that if the committee forces you or any matter, it can then take, demand the information, and when things go wrong, it says, no, it's not us, it's them. So how the committee then handles the matter, it was on the basis, but there is no way we can accept what you are giving us because we are in this meeting. And I think in 2 weeks' time, it means next Wednesday, by that Wednesday, whether you are sitting listening to any other matter, we must have received your correspondence. I think we can just leave it at that level.
Can I be allowed to respond to that? I think, Chair, on behalf of the State Diamond Trader and the Board, we must unreservedly apologize for really having an undesirable start to our presentation here.
I think the delay with which the responses come through, whatever it is, whether it's negative to the request or positive or somewhere in between, is one thing that I think the chair is correct, has not happened properly. And again, we must apologize for that. We should not be seen to be disrespecting the request of the committees. And our view should be that if it is impossible for us to provide information because we are precluded by the law, then I think we should have come back to the committee through the day to indicate the difficulties of providing this information and gotten guidance from the chair. In fact, Chair, after this information was sought, our own legal counsel drafted a legal opinion, which has now been confirmed, and exactly the points you are making are now in this legal opinion. So we will then make sure that we put together all that information. We were willing to share it with you outside of the committee so that you give us guidance as to how to deal with it. But having requested it is on record, we will package it so that you are then able to give us guidance as to how we then present information that actually we do not own. It's owned by the customers, and ensure that when it is presented, it's done in a manner of respect, firstly the customer's right in law, but also anybody that seeks the information, it respects their constitutional rights, because this particular request deals with the two issues, and the legal opinion addresses them quite adequately, and then leave it to the committee to then give guidance as to how it can be handled. And therefore, Chair, you are absolutely correct that the committee can only give that guidance if it's got the information at hand. Thank you, Chair, and I apologize once more.
Okay. Yes, then I agree that whenever it's submitted, but well, even if it's ready, which is why I assume, by saying in 2 weeks' time, it means if it arrives early, it arrives the better, and we'll find a way of handling that. The last issue on, I think, also looking at your record, don't allow yourself to do what you are not meant to do. I must tell you too, continue with the good work. You also fall on the very same track. And I hope, and I'm what the, because what you have as a limitation, not to completely import it, is people the supply chain. Go and correct that. Don't do other things. Just stick to what you do, the pattern, correct this one. But more than that, the same advice, go back, make sure that you put the AG closer to you. If you have to meet with them, quarterly, whatever, that's for them to assist you. Just do that. Don't wait for them again to come and audit and give you. But I would say, I'm impressed again about one thing. There is no mismanagement. There is no issues of governance. It's just those minor things that you can. In fact, you know submission, you said. The problem that you must understand, and I think I should full thanks to you, I just said that. The problem that you must understand, the biggest problem, which is what we have been raising even to others, is that when you come here and present, that information is already a matter of public consumption. Whatever reasons you are giving here, they are for here. They are not for outside. So you just need to do those touch-ups when you do your work. Otherwise, you are not a difficult people to work with. Except the last time I had dungeon, I'm sure it's just an exceptional, it will never arise again. You didn't come here and get even yourself to ask for a bailout like others do. I'm reliably informed that you also not being sponsored. You don't have a public resume. Mm-hmm. Well done. Don't create conditions to ask for it. Just continue with the
environment. I think on that note, honorable members, we are done on this one. You are not in the dock, so I wouldn't say you are not guilty or you are released. Maybe if you're in court, we're going to tell you that you've got a suspended sentence, never to be found again with a similar offense. Okay, honorable members, can we go to just two matters? This honorable member has already carried all the matters in his document. Who said the announcement?
We gave you the minutes, but we would keep doing it the same. Let's go with the adoption of the program, I remember.
I know when you come here, you must be happy now. You are free. Okay. Honorable members, can we look at the program? You are now the host to go back. You are now on the 22nd. You agree with the program. One is that we are suggesting, that's for your own benefit. Né? We are suggesting that what you have on the feed, no. The EPA on the 5th and the 12th, we combine those presentations because they are almost similar. The first one deals with environment, one environmental system for mining. The second one deals with the issue of progress in dealing with derelict and ownerless mines. So we say let's put those things together. And then it means we move up 19 to the test challenge. Oh, then we will come back to you with the item in due course for the 19th. But there is an oversight on the 24th to the 28th. The second thing, honorable members, is that we are swamped with the different, what do you call this thing, interventions or requests. I think that recently there was a mine blast in, where's that place? In yes, Bagsford. Now I told you there's another one in where they found the explosives that are used in the mines. There's another one that was submitted by, was it Inspectorate, Mine Health and Safety Inspectorate, of the graves in Evander, the Pumalanga, ne? There's the one that is outstanding of the work. You will recall when we went to Gauteng, although we gave it to the department to do the final touch-ups on the issue of illegal mining. I don't know how many do we have from the Northern Cape, Limpopo, my biggest problem, you know, if this thing was being said by somebody else who accepted it. Yeah, I'm not being umlungu, maybe umlungu, so I didn't even show I then was umlungu. By me, now, we had the suggestion, we don't know, and I think I must be honest and open to, even here, in fact, here, in the Western Cape, Northern Cape,
So I must not go back and say Limpopo because I've didn't get a lecture. Linguistics training. There's another one, I think it's Newcastle, that issue of Oswezweni, which is becoming a serious matter. There were two proposals, there were issues that were called, the comedy can't be everywhere or anywhere. Initially, and we were told that we can still make that application. We look at the big, what do you call those things? The bigger oversight responsibilities, like the one we have now in Northwest, the one we have in the Eastern Cape. But some of those areas are not necessarily oversight or interventions. So initially there was a suggestion that we wanted to put a suggestion that says, rather than to take every, we wait for a committee, we do make these interventions as and when it is required. But we carry at least two members, the chair and two members of the committee, one from the ruling party and one from the opposition. And we are able to go so that the committee can be seized with more info. Sometimes, in some of the things that we are responding to, we have not even been there. But we look on those big oversight responsibilities. But also linked to this is an issue that we have not been able to discuss, which we think will have to come and factor in here. This, what do you call this? I nearly said the word that might make people jump. Is it study tools, no? Do you call it? Listen, turn to our new national name, really endorse. Yes, we are also trying to look on the issues of the status quo. For an example, I was told just recently that in Zimbabwe, the thing that we are complaining about here of illegal mining is something that is being, there is a way that they are managing it. We must not look beyond the Limpopo. Yes. You want to die? So we want to say if the committee agrees on this program, that is factored in. You will also note, honorable members, I just saw it on the papers that your MPRDA is coming back. Now I realize that but I'm told when I read on the paper that it's going to be referred back to Parliament, and Parliament is obvious which committee is going to be dealing with. So it means we have not factored in some of those things. So what's happening for now in terms of the committee, where this is what we will be doing. So do you agree with what is being presented now, including with the unseen amendments? Honorable Mandel.
Yes, sir. We would like to adopt the program as said above, with the amendments to the 19th that will be briefed on. So I move for the adoption of the program.
And the ones that have been myself? Yes. What interventions are studied to?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any seconder? Honorable Jasta and Honorable Mafono.
I swear.
This is I'm seconding Honorable Mandela that we adopt the program.
Okay. Minutes? Page 1, corrections. Page 1.
Page
1. There is no Limpopo. How much is the rectifier? But it's still Mashallah. This is not how you Mashallah is, but it's still Mashallah. You see this thing, when you're going to meet him, they just ask, the village is going to be a good thing.
No.
Page 2. Page 3.
The only thing you must increase your font. I can see now that you will be a little bit.
There's something wrong now with my eyes. Page 4.
As long as they're in diamond.
Page 5.
I asked you about my course and I'm fine.
Page 6. Page 7.
Yeah, you don't need to go on a program or to go to the page. There's no page 7, none of them are my son. Yeah.
Why should we sign them before you approve them? We will sign if we approve them. Matters arise, any mover? Honorable Lafono? Any move?
For the adoption, sir.
That's right.
Any second?
Okay. Any second? Honorable Mandela?
Thank you, sir. I'd like to second the adoption of the minutes. And also would like my color corrected to be the same as in page 6. It is the correct spelling on page 6, chapter 7. Thank you.
I won't be surprised next time I was told you must write in Kofi Mandela. The host of my life.
Okay. Matter arising. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4.
No, I told you don't eat too much. That's why you are slow.
Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Okay. In the case of it may, the next item, announcements, you are cordially invited.
Can I get what is written with the chairperson of the committee?
I think it's in the next application.
I don't know. How we
okay, there is an invitation, honorable members, to a Mine Health and Safety Tripartite Summit scheduled for the 18th to the 19th of November. Are you going to give a The venue will be confirmed in due course, but probably it will be in Gauteng, Johannesburg. So you are invited as honorable members.
The 18th
and the 19th.
And
I'm passing an invitation.
Yes, that's why I'm passing an invitation. Okay. The last one, honourable members, is that Friday we are supposed to be adopting our report and recommendations. So we are here just to do that. We hope it won't take long. We will do our level best that you get it much more in advance so that you can go through those recommendations and then we just have it adopted and leave. Is there any other issue? In the, you know, my biggest problem is that I was very brutal to the CEO of the Diamond Regulate. Now, I don't want to say there was already a candidate for people with disability in you. When you start to speak with them, don't know what happens to my honorable member. Do you want to say something, honorable member?
I was saying I won't be available. I'm attending telecommunication and digital services for UTMT.
Don't start to do something that you are not. Okay. Nothing more? I'm not recommending. You must know when I finish picking these things, it means I'm going. You can't believe a meeting without a chair. Don't allow me to close meetings. Okay?
But we go for the vote of thanks and closure of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. May you have first, please. You are released.